I'm Peter Caroon. We're going to talk about the Democratic resurgence in the state of Utah.
And I'm Todd Weiler, and not printing enough ballots is a good problem for political parties.
I think I can still see people out in line waiting to caucus from this window. My name's Matt Lusty. Stay tuned to hear about the political caucus. I represent the political middle. This is Both Sides of the Aisle, but first, this news. Welcome to Both Sides of the Aisle. My name is Matt Lusty. I'm the manager of marketing and communications for the Salt Lake Chamber. I'm sitting in for Natalie Gochner. I'm the moderate middle. And with me, we're going to start with the left, Utah Democratic Party Chair Peter Caroon. Good morning, Peter. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
And we're going to my right, State Senator Todd Weiler. How are you doing, Senator?
Good. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, we are glad that you're both here. This week for politics here in Utah has been interesting, to say the least. We had caucuses happening on Tuesday, and I want to talk about that. Coming out of there, Cruz, victorious in Utah, he gets above the 50% threshold, and Sanders, 80%. So let's start there. Let's start with Sanders, and I want to go to you, Mr. Peter Caroon. Let's talk about, why did he get that much support here in that state? What was your party? Why did they bring him in so high?
I don't know. Sometimes I equated it to a kid who grows up in a very strict family. They tend to be the ones who go off to the left the most, to be the wildest. So I think people were looking for an alternative to the ultra-conservative state we live in and went towards Bernie Sanders. And, you know, honestly, he came here twice, did a great job. Hillary Clinton's, you know, is very popular among Democrats as well. So I think they just did a great job of getting their people out, and that they did.
Now, you mentioned getting their people out. I want to ask you about that. What do you think that Bernie Sanders did for just bringing out more voters?
He had a great group of people here. Obviously, whatever his message is resonating with people, especially younger people. And we had 20,000 people who registered to vote out of the 80,000 people who actually cast ballots. So it's about 1 in 4 who actually came, registered, and then voted. So that's certainly a record. And, of course, our 80,000 people voting was a record in the caucus as well.
Well, that's amazing. Now, Todd, looking across the fence, before we go over to the Republican side, what's your take on Bernie winning in a landslide victory over Hillary Clinton?
Well, I think that Bernie is exciting a lot of people. I mean, he's 74. I mean, John McCain was much younger than that 8 years ago, and all the media talked about was how he wouldn't live through his first term if he was elected. And I've never heard a national discussion of Bernie's age. Hillary's 69, I think. And I think he is bringing a lot of people. But let's not fool ourselves. There's a lot of people in Utah who do not like Hillary Clinton. And I think part of that, not all of it, I think part of that vote for Bernie Sanders, 79%, was an anti-Hillary Clinton vote.
Now, I think what you're saying is interesting, because I would add to that that I think an individual, a 74-year-old white man doing so well against Hillary Clinton, says a lot more about the Democratic confidence in Hillary Clinton than it does about Bernie Sanders being a successful candidate. I mean, this is a self-proclaimed socialist, which I get why maybe you have the younger voters, but a self-proclaimed socialist running against an establishment individual, I think that he shouldn't do so well here in the United States. I mean, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And yet a straw poll at BYU, of all places, last month said that Bernie Sanders was the top choice of, you know, Mormon kids at BYU. And I think everyone thinks that some rich guy is going to buy him free stuff, at least the college kids, and who wouldn't vote for that? So
and I think it's the message, Wall Street having taken over our country, money having taken over politics. That 2 years of free education, college education, does resonate. We pay for elementary school. We pay for high school. 2 years of college education makes sense. If we're going to compete in this world economy, we need the best educated people. We're not going to win the race to the bottom in terms of salaries or being the low price leader. We need to be the high price, competitive, knowledge-based economy.
Well, I think that's an interesting thought, especially when you think about, take, for example, those college kids at BYU. They lived through the economic collapse in 2008, right? So when you say Wall Street taking over politics, maybe that's their thought. Now, I want to shift over to the Republican side. Cruz was victorious over Kasich and Trump. He got over that 50% threshold. And Todd, we're going to start with you to talk about that. What's your take?
Well, I think people are warming up to Ted Cruz, and I think he's got a wider appeal than he did 6 weeks ago. My first take is if this caucus had been February 12th instead of March 22nd, I don't think Cruz would have had 69%. I think Marco Rubio would have won the state 6 weeks ago. That's my own bias coming through.
Interesting.
But I do think people are warming up to Cruz, and I want to give props to Cruz and his campaign. But again, let's not pretend there wasn't a huge anti-Donald Trump element in that. You wouldn't have seen Mitt Romney come out and support Cruz and Governor Gary Herbert, except, you know, he's been identified as the only viable option to possibly stop Trump. And, you know, if I had to bet $1 million today, I'd say that November ballot's going to be Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. We're not going to see Bernie Sanders. We're not going to see Ted Cruz. That's my, you know, my prediction. But it is what it is. And John Kasich yesterday or on Tuesday's primary, he lost to Marco Rubio in Arizona a week after Rubio dropped out. And some of that was early voting. But Kasich is not seen as a viable alternative to Cruz right now.
That's an interesting
thought. Kasich, I should say.
That's okay. That's an interesting thought. Peter, how much do you think of Cruz winning is the anti-Donald Trump sentiment?
Oh, I think absolutely in Utah it's the anti-Donald Trump sentiment. You know, when Donald Trump comes to Utah and makes fun of Utah's favorite son, Mitt Romney, he's certainly not going to get a lot of votes. Kasich just certainly hasn't shown that he's able to excite the Republican Party, although, frankly, I think he is, other than Donald Trump, the only one who could win in the general election. I don't see Cruz as having any chance to win in the general election. Trump's just such a wild card. Who knows what would happen? Kasich seems to represent somebody who could be a middle-of-the-road person that independents or even moderate Democrats would vote for.
You know, that's an interesting thought that you have about Kasich. I talked to several individuals who were caucusing with the Republicans, and they said to me, I want to, and this was more moderate individuals, I should say, I want to vote for Kasich, but I don't want Donald Trump to get delegates. And so touching on what you're saying, I think there was some of that anti-dump Trump, I guess is the hashtag going around on social media, dump Trump movement of saying, you know what, I may want to go with somebody besides Cruz, but I don't like Donald Trump enough that I would vote for Cruz so that he doesn't move forward. And I'd hope for a brokered convention. Here's an open thought to both of you. What's the possibility of that happening on the Republican side? Todd, let's start with you. What do you think? Do you think a brokered convention is going to happen?
I think it's ever more possible that it will happen. And I've been a delegate to two different national conventions on the Republican side. I would love to see a brokered convention. I think the Republican Party, a lot of the support for Cruz is saying we want a brokered convention. And who comes out of that? Is it John Kasich? Is it Marco Rubio? Is it Mitt Romney? Is it Paul Ryan? Is it door number three? I don't know. If it's brokered, I think that the real fact, the X factor is if it's not Trump, does he run as a third party? The answer is probably yes. And so the Republicans probably with a gun to their head will realize we either choose Trump or we're choosing to lose.
Interesting. I mean,
maybe we win with Trump, maybe we don't. But if he runs as a third party, then we definitely lose to Hillary.
You know, I think to provide kind of a more moderate perspective, I would love to see a brokered convention just because I think with the candidates that we have, there's a little bit of divisiveness. And I think that it would be great for a candidate that steps up, that is someone that people would feel comfortable voting for. We already know that Kasich can't get there statistically with the delegate count. Peter, I want to ask you, what's your thoughts on maybe having a brokered convention for the Republicans? More exciting, maybe, at least.
I pray for Donald Trump every night and hope he's the candidate by a clear margin. And we could get some Democrats elected here in Utah with him as the leader of the Republican Party.
Well, I think that's a great thought. I actually want to talk about that. We're going to take a break here in a minute as we get ready to step into our next segment. But in our next segment, I want to talk to you about what you think the future is for Democrats in this state, because there is a lot of talk about this election bringing out a Democrat vote, which could change the legislature's face a little bit. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. We want you to come right back. Stay with us. We're going to be talking about some incredibly interesting political happenings for the future of our state.
I'm Peter Caroon on the left.
And I'm Todd Weiler on the right.
And I'm Matt Lustig. I'm sitting in for Natalie Gochner, representing Utah's political middle. And before we left, I started talking with Peter about how this election is bringing out a lot of Democrats. And there have been articles recently talking about how there may be more Democrats in the Utah legislature in the future because of more participation. So let's talk about that. What are your thoughts on that? Have you seen any of that information going around suggesting that we could have an influx of Democrats soon?
I did see that poll, and that would be amazing for us. I was born in 1964, and that's the last time that Democrats voted for or Utah voted for a Democratic presidential candidate. So that would be super exciting for me, and I'd love to see it happen. And I think it would go down the ticket as well. If Donald Trump is the Republican nominee, I think we'd see a lot of Republicans in Utah staying home. And that would depress the voter turnout on the Republican side. And hopefully we'd see Democrats still getting out to vote and changing some of the elections. Obviously, at 14%, we don't think that's enough representation in our state legislature. Right now, we don't have any federal representatives or statewide representatives. It's time to turn the state of Utah at least purple, if not blue.
See, I didn't realize that it was 14%. I knew obviously there were more Republicans, but I didn't realize it was that percentage. Todd, I want to go to you to talk about that. Do you think that this dump Trump kind of mania here in Utah that is going around, this fervor, would lead to more Democrats in the Utah legislature, more colleagues for you?
Well, I think it could. I mean, there's a there were three legislative House seats last election cycle that were actually declared for the Democrats on election night, and then with the canvass of the vote with the absentee ballots and the vote by mail that flipped to Republicans. So there are a few of those seats in Salt Lake County that I think are in play. I don't think you're going to see this massive, you know, right now the legislature is about 85% Republican. I don't think you're going to see the Democrats take control of the legislature like they did the Senate back in the 70s in response to Watergate. But yeah, some of those seats that are in play, I think you could see those flip. And let's not also forget there's 610,000 registered voters in Utah who are not affiliated with either Republican or the Democratic or a third party. And some of those people, I mean, we count on a lot of those people to vote Republican in order to elect Gary Herbert as governor and more in particularly Mia Love to Congress. And so if those people flip on us, then that, yeah, you'll see some other seats come into play.
What about if Clinton's the nominee for the Democrats? Do you see more Republicans coming in?
I do. I think you'll see a big anti-Hillary turnout. And I think you'll see some of the Bernie supporters that came out for Tuesday's caucus. I think you'll see some of them stay home.
Interesting. Now, Peter, before I give you a chance to respond to that same question, I would like to say, you know, I was writing a blog earlier today from the business perspective. Obviously, I work at the Salt Lake Chamber. But I do like, and this is the middle perspective, the reason I bring it up, Utah's political middle, is that when you have more voter turnout, that's good. That's good for business. That's good for the state because opinions are being heard. And so from that perspective, I'm excited by the amount of people showing up for both their caucus meetings. I was talking with an individual who said last time they were caucusing, there were 7 people in their precinct. This time there were 70. I think that's incredible. But Peter, we're going to go back to you. Do you think if Hillary Clinton's the nominee that you have maybe some turnover for Republicans in the legislature?
I don't know. Apparently, obviously, I can't speak for the Republicans. Sounds like there is some dislike there. Although I do say, based on the caucus evening, I think a lot of people came out on the Democratic side based on Donald Trump. So not only supporting Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, but a sort of an anti-Trump turnout on the Democratic side. So I think it can work both ways.
That's an interesting thought. Now, I want to talk about online voting for a minute, because among all the things that were happening with Tuesday this week, there was also online voting happening for the first time. There was some national media, some critics saying, despite evidence that says this is a bad idea, I think it was in Politico, Utah is going to go ahead and go forward with this. Todd, let's start with you. Talk to me about your take on online voting. It says here that nearly a quarter of the 40,000 voters who applied were rejected as their party membership just couldn't be confirmed.
Yeah, I think that there were some glitches. I think this was the largest online voting experience ever attempted in the United States. And so I think on one hand, you would expect some glitches. On the other hand, I mean, even though I have nothing to do officially other than being a Republican myself with the party right now, I was fielding complaints from all across the state, from friends and other people on Twitter with complaints about the party's voting system. So, you know, congratulations that 75% of those people got through. But I know some people spent several hours and were very frustrated with the whole system. But kudos to the Republicans for trying the online option. I know some Democrats last night who stood in line for 2.5 hours probably wished that they had that option. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's a good thought. I swear there might even still be lines somewhere. There were some long, long
lines.
Out
in Kearns, I think they were the last ones, ended at 11 o'clock when people had, you know, the cutoff was 8:30 to be
You're
in
kidding
line.
Me.
So they were there for a while. I do think online voting is the wave of the future. It will happen. We're just not quite there yet in terms of security and technology. But, you know, I actually give kudos to the Republican Party for trying it, although I do I am not happy with the Republican legislature for not funding a primary, a statewide primary, where they have the resources to do that. And then if in the alternative, to help the political parties fund their caucuses if they're not going to fund a primary. We're basically left on our own to figure it out ourselves with and trying to find the funding to pay for all of it. And it's tough to run an election. And we have a 29 county clerks in a lieutenant governor's office with hundreds of employees combined, and they all do a great job of running elections. We're not in the business of running elections. We shouldn't be doing it.
Interesting. Todd, what's your take on that?
Well, my take is this was not an election. Nobody was elected last night. Bernie Sanders was not elected. Ted Cruz was not elected. And the state pays $3 million for a primary in the fourth Tuesday in June. And I think the parties are welcome to join that. I recognize that because of deadlines set by the national Democratic and Republican Party, that those are inconvenient. That's really not the state's problem. So we're paying over $3 million for a June primary. We're paying over $3 million for a November general election. And for the parties, you know, to insist that we now pay for their internal processes as well, I know we've done it before, but I think the state has every right. And with all due respect to Chairman Caroon, they've known for over a year that the state wasn't preparing for this. And quite frankly, if they didn't prepare, I mean, after seeing Bernie Sanders draw 15,000 people last week, if they didn't print enough ballots and if they didn't book enough locations, I'm sorry, that's not the state's problem. That's not the state's fault.
I want to get your perspective on that, Peter, but I have to say, since Todd brought it up, 15,000 people at a Bernie Sanders rally? I mean, it's like a rock concert.
Absolutely. People have said they're coming in from the fields, coming from the forest into the fields to see Bernie Sanders. It was an amazing rally, and we hope those people stay engaged. And at the end of the day, as somebody running a political party, we want people out there being engaged in the process, being engaged in the political system. People care about the issues, and I always say if you care about the issues, you need to change the politics, and in order to change the politics, you need to get out there and vote and be a participant, not an observer.
And let me just say that the Democrats had about 80,000 people participate in Tuesday's caucus, which is wonderful. The Republicans had closer to 200,000. And we didn't have lines three blocks long. Why? Because we booked more locations. And were there problems? Yes, there were some. But to blame the state because you weren't adequately prepared for your own people to come out, I don't see it.
And we're not blaming this state. We're just saying we think it's the state's job to run elections. We do think it is an election, or if you don't think that, at least help us with the caucuses. They've done that before. We spent months trying to get volunteers. We had begged with schools to let us use their facilities. So it's easier said than done to host a good efficient caucus. And frankly, you know, we were excited at the end of the day having that many people, and I think there's a camaraderie with them all being there, but
I think
it's
the excitement for
tough.
The growing pains is important.
Yeah.
I mean, the growing pains and the increased political participation is actually
this is a good problem. I mean, Iron County, I think I read they had 38 Democrats caucus 2 years ago. They had 754 on Tuesday for the caucus. So, I mean, this is a problem I think political parties want to have. And one thing the state did do is there were some schools that would try to gouge the parties, both Republican and Democrats, for renting rooms for caucus. And the legislature passed a law and said you can't do that. And so I think the legislature is able and willing to help where it can, but you know, there was a bill to pay for this last session in 2015, and it failed. It didn't get funded. So the parties had 12, 13 months notice, and I think they should have prepared for it.
Preparing for that support. Now, I want to go on Moving on to the next one, I want to talk about signature gathering, and I'm actually really excited that you're here with us today, Todd, because we're talking about signature gathering and SB 54, count my vote. It's caused a little bit of confusion. Election offices are getting prepped with questions. Utah GOP is awaiting a critical judicial ruling. Many candidates, most of them legislative incumbents, are already gathering signatures to be certified for the party's primary ballot. You've reached your signatures, right?
Yeah, it took the people, you know, the team that I hired about 2 days to gather 2,000 signatures in Bountiful.
Okay, so it's quick. But how much did I mean, if you're comfortable talking about the cost, because I think that's been the concern.
I disclose all of my expenditures, so I paid $4 a signature, so that's about $8,000.
Okay, and so the concern now is about having that thrown away. I think for example, Senator Lee, who's going to be up this year, for him to get 20,000 signatures.
28,000.
28,000. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. That's a lot of money if you're costing $4 a signature.
Well, okay. Assuming, you know, in some hypothetical world that the court's going to deny the signature path, which I don't expect will happen, I still had 2,000 registered Republicans in my district sign their name saying that they would support putting me on the ballot. That's worth something. If not $8,000, it's worth something. It was an excellent part of my grassroots campaign, and even if that gets thrown out, I'm not going to begrudge engaging that many people.
You're happy that you had that engagement. Let's go over to you.
Well, based on our position, which is that any candidate who did not go through the signature process is not eligible to go through the convention process. So Senator Wyler, based on the Democratic position, may be one of the few candidates that we believe can run as a Republican in the next election. We just sent a letter to the Lieutenant Governor's office asking them to disqualify any candidate who did not get enough signatures to be on the ballot. So it could be an interesting election year with this lawsuit filed by the Republicans against the Republican Lieutenant Governor about a law passed by the Republican legislature. We think it's a good law. We believe that the two routes make some sense to allow people to go through either a convention caucus system or a signature process. It opens up, allows more people to engage in the process.
We think
it's a good thing.
Yeah, and I was going to say, allowing people, you know, from my perspective, allowing people to get engaged in the process is not a bad thing. Now, before we go on, I just want to say we do a lot of talking on the show, but we also want to hear from you. If you have questions, a comment, or a topic that you'd like to hear us debate on the program, send us an email. Send it to comments@kcpw.org. You can also leave us a voice message by calling 801-359-5279, extension 200. Now, we're going to move on to something a little bit close to home. Tragic terrorist attack happened in Brussels, and I just want to get 30-second take, and then we're going to move on to gripes from both of you. We had some Mormon missionaries involved. What are your thoughts, Todd?
Well, it is, of course, tragic, just like, you know, the attacks in France and so many before that one. And, you know, I hope that our government's doing everything in its power with ISIS or ISIL or IS or whatever we're calling them this week. These are horrible, nasty. They're the embodiment of evil. And, you know, quite frankly, for our president less than 2 years ago to come out and call them the JV team, I think was insulting. And this is a serious worldwide threat. And I hope that we're up to the challenge.
Okay, Peter.
And obviously our prayers go out to the people wounded, the families, and we hope and pray for a speedy recovery for them. We need to go after, obviously, these terrorists here and abroad and make sure that our citizens are safe wherever they are in this world.
Okay, I appreciate that. Now we have just a moment. We're going to do gripes, and it's going to be about 30 seconds or less once again. And I want to start on the right with Senator Wyler.
Oh, I've got a ton of things I can gripe about. I'm going to gripe about our selection right now. I mean, I saw a meme with a little kid, you know, trying to get away from his mom's arm, like flailing on the floor in the grocery store. And he said, the meme said, I don't want to vote. I don't like any of these candidates. And I apologize, but that's kind of how I feel about the election process right now. I really liked Marco Rubio. I know he did not do well in Florida, but quite frankly, I'm not really a Trump fan. I'm not really a Cruz fan, and I think John Kasich is a nice man, but he's not going to be president of the United States anytime in my lifetime.
Absolutely. Interesting. Okay, let's go to you, Mr. Caroon.
Oh, my gripe is back to the legislative session, the power grab that we saw with the two committees that the Republicans changed the makeup, so they now control it. We're previously. They were neutral committees with representatives equally on both sides. Also, trying to get rid of the 17th Amendment. I just think we've gone a little bit too far up there at the legislature.
All right. Now, my gripe, it kind of piggybacks on Senator Wyler's in that, you know, I am not happy with the selection either. As a moderate, I mentioned earlier in the program, I feel like there's a little bit of divisiveness, but I might say something that's a little bit unpopular, especially with individuals in the millennial age group and my age. I have a frustration with Bernie Sanders in that I get where he's coming from and wanting to provide so many of these services, but I've looked at the math, and from an economic point of view, how do you pay for free health care? How do you pay for college tuition for everyone? How do you pay for all of these programs that we want to expand? For me, it's been frustrating. As a moderate, I don't see myself falling in that as an independent. Anyway, you've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I've been joined by State Democratic Party Chairman Peter Kroon and State Senator Todd Wyler. Our program today was produced by the wonderful, the fantastic Ross Chambliss. Thanks for listening.